You are listening to Fika with Vicky on United Public Radio, 107.7 and 105.3 from New Orleans.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fika. Today is all about Robin Hood. But unfortunately, he couldn't be here. You know, rich to rob from, poor to give to. So it's just me and you. I would love it to get some chat and feedback from you all about your Robin Hood experiences and your first Robin Hood story and your favorites. I'm just going to switch over to comments here. Or just to say hello, I'm out here. I called this episode Robin Hood, The Legacy, The Legend, and The Legacy. The Legend because, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, a legend is a story from the past that is believed by many but cannot be proved to be true, such as Robin Hood. And a legacy is something that happened in the past that comes from someone in the past, like Robin Hood as well. But I also should have added another word, lead. Robin Hood catches us in our youth with a vision of living in a forest with friends, making merry, and enjoying a carefree existence. But not only is it a vision that leads us to Robin Hood's story itself, it's a lead-in to questioning what is truly right and what society tells us is right, and the repercussions of perhaps not following what society is telling us. So today is going to be more about, as I said earlier, what brought us to Robin Hood and how his tales have transformed into shows, movies, television series, artworks, festivals, and even oracle decks. And how those different transformations have affected the story, for better or worse. I have my opinions, but I always want to hear yours. So the first thing I wanted to do is introduce my first Robin Hood experience, which I think I've mentioned at least once or twice before. And that was Errol Flynn on Sunday afternoon movies, swinging out to that limb and saying, "Welcome to Sherwood, my lady." And I decided right then and there I was going to enjoy that welcome and stay there. And I have done through many, many many years. There are other Robin Hoods that have come into my life. In 1991, I think it was. And don't criticize me. There was the Prince of Thieves. And now this Robin Hood is always going to be special to me because, can I do that without a shine? Because our march back up the aisle after our wedding ceremony was the song after Robin Hood and Maid Marian got married. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that they got married. And our theme song, our first song for the wedding dance was Everything I Can Do For You, which was the theme song. Everything I Do For You, which was the theme song for Robin Hood from Bryan Adams. There is also Robin Hood of Sherwood, Robin of Sherwood, which we've talked about a lot of times with Mark Ryan, and it has a more mystical influence to its telling of Robin Hood and influenced a lot of people along the way. It's their 40th anniversary. If you're a fan, jump on to one of their sites and say, "Happy anniversary, congratulations." And You can also pick up some of the CDs. It's playing on Prime on one of the side channels. I can't remember, but you can find it somewhere always. So check that one out. Anybody else want to jump in with their favorite? Go ahead. I'm just going to move on here. It's been a while since I haven't had a guest, so it's taking me a minute to get my footing. Don't pretend you haven't noticed. Okay, so when we talk about Robin Hood showing up in a lot of different places, we're looking at animation, the fox in Walt Disney's Robin Hood, and a fox is kind of a cool way of portraying Robin because he wasn't like all, well, it depends on the version, but generally he lived and survived by his wits and his humor and his, you know, intelligence, strategy. He didn't go with the muscles. So I like the fox representation of Robin in the Disney movies. Also, recently to me is not the same as recently to someone who's 20. Is the fact that Hawkeye is obviously a spin-off from Robin Hood on the Marvel series. And yes, I do like Thor, as mentioned, but really, Hawkeye is my favorite because he doesn't have superpowers, okay? He's just a guy out there with a bow and arrow. He has got to be the bravest of all the Marvel characters to do that. And he's doing it because he wants to keep the world safe for his family. He's the family guy in the whole thing. He's the one that's worried about the people that can't protect themselves, possibly a little more. He doesn't have money, the greatest of all superpower to fall back on. He is not an immortal. Hawkeye is just out there doing his thing. So definitely like the Hawkeye version. I haven't watched Green Arrow enough. It was on my radar, but it never happened. So I need to take that one in more. We have a couple of comments here. Thank you. Okay. Dave says, don't forget Rocket Robin Hood. And yes, I used to watch that all the time when I was a small child. I don't know. It was from 1966 to 1969. So very small child. Maybe I caught it on reruns. It is in an animation in which Robin Hood is in space. Same kind of story, except it's the different planets that are causing the trouble. The leaders of the different planets. And it was made in Canada. I don't know how syndicated it is. I haven't had a chance to look into that yet. So there is Rocket Robin Hood that influenced a lot of us. And it does. The theme song and everything has Robin Hood. I think maybe Maid Marian is dressed a little differently than the historical versions. But definitely a plus. Brian is asking, very good, Brian, that was on my list of subjects. Brian says, I've heard that the name Robin Hood isn't the name of a single person, but rather more of a title given to a series of outlaws. Okay, so today we're talking about our ideas and what we think, and I'm not going to give any definite answers because I'm not sure anybody can, but I do agree with that theory. I've read about it. It seems obvious to me that it is more of a, there it is, theory, that Robin Hood is more of an office job title than a person. And that makes perfect sense because everybody wants to claim Robin Hood. And it really is, he really is a symbol of justice and, you know, fighting back at the class system and over over taxation and exploiting people. And so I can't say yes, that is the theory, Brian, but amazingly enough, I agree with you on that one. Yes, men in tights. Thank you for bringing that up. I have a list, but I don't want to just sit here and go through the list. So let's not forget the comic version, Brian says, of Robin Hood, men in tights. I suspect medieval folks would have enjoyed the humor. It is very humorous, and especially about the costumes. This is another thing. Robin's manner of dress has changed over the years, and looking a little cooler these days. But who knew what was cool back in? Well, we know what was. Good morning, Vicky. Hello, Robin Sims. I need to use the last name today because there's so much Robin going around. The first Robin Hood movie I ever saw was a black and white The Adventures of Robin Hood in 1938, and I loved it as a kid. What was your first Robin Hood movie scene and your favorite movie if you had to pick? Okay. As I said right at the beginning, but I will sing his praises, the same one, Robin. The 1938 The Adventures of Robin Hood that used to come on the Sunday afternoon movies with Errol Flynn. And that was my catcher. It was, you know, it was pretty. It was big. There was swinging from trees. What was not to love? So, Dave said, I watched Rocket Robin Hood as a small child. That was yesterday. Lots of laughs. I agree that you were a small child yesterday, David. And will probably continue to be one today, you dear man. So, yes, we also have comedic versions of Robin Hood, which we've enjoyed over the years. He is there always in all of these different roles. So the theory that it was a role, that it was more than one person, I think is wonderful. And I will get more people in the know to come in and talk about those things. But I believe there should be a little bit of Robin Hood in all of us. So I just wanted to comment before, you know, someday I have experts in and stuff about the whole idea that Robin Hood doesn't have, as I was researching this, there would be, well, you know, there needs to be more female representation or whatever in Robin Hood. So we'll go with the idea that I always go with first. We are all the characters in the story. So if you are a girl and you want to be Robin Hood, it's a very non-gender specific name. So if you want to be Robin Hood, be Robin Hood. Don't let the details bother you. Next, also with Hawkeye, he is also changing the role, moving the role on to a female. I think that's what's happening. I mean, I don't know how this is all going to play out. But so Robin Hood is a role. As a role means you can be Robin Hood, and we may see more of, I think there was another series, Young Robin or something that had also, okay, let us not forget Maid Marian. Okay. She is an integral part of this whole thing. And you may say, oh, but she just has a small part. Women's place at that time, the fact that she went out and defied the rules and went to live with a bunch of outlaws out in the forest is completely courageous. And because, granted, she had connections. So, you know, it's always easier to do these things when you have the money and the people to fall back on. Everybody wants to marry you because they want your land, being exploited herself. But she made courageous moves the roles were much more specified then. So she did her own fighting of oppression. I don't read comic books enough. Okay. Distinguished Monster says, I believe there is was a female character led comic book called Robin Hood, Robin with a Y. I'd like to know more about that. I'm writing that one down to go look up. But if you know more, Mr. Monster, let me know. Okay, Robin with a Y, female comic book. Okay, guys. Okay, right, Brian. Marian also served as a spy for Robin Hood by living in the castle with the evil folks. That's pretty damned heroic. It is. I just don't, you know, maybe because she wasn't recognized. I don't know, but I don't think when people are arguing these points, they give Marian enough credit. She was part, like, even if you take the I don't have everything, but you know, I try. Even if you take the Russell Crowe version, in which it was very obvious that Robin Hood went off to fight the battles while Marian stayed at home and took care of things. And then he finally had to face up to the fact that there was a lot of battles at home and he came home and they had to fight together. So there are partnerships. There are different relationships where one person takes care of another thing. The Robin Hood and Maid Marian story is something that goes back in folklore and things a long way. I believe I'm not committing to anything right now. Dave. All heroes need a bad guy. And I think Alan Rickman was the best in Prince of Thieves. I do like Mr. Rickman as the sheriff. I don't think, I mean, yeah, he's Alan Rickman, okay? That's all that you have to say about that. So we have touched upon the Errol Flynn adventures. Back in... Okay. That's between Robin and Dave, but they're totally agreeing again. Okay. So, Mr. Monster... says that the Robin Hood with a Y comic was publisher of the comic is Xenoscope and independent, not Marvel or DC. Okay, I'm reading that down. So Xenoscope, and I'm going to look that up. We're all about indies here. All right. Okay, so there was also a 1955 to 59 series with Richard Green, a Robin Hood for television. And that one, I think it's okay because I think it could possibly be in public domain. But you can get episodes of that on YouTube. Men in Tights. Russell Crowe. There was a recent 2018 Robin Hood with Darren Egerton. A silent Robin Hood with Douglas Fairbanks back in 12. Robin Hood was back in 12 in 1922 in the distance. And so many more. It just blows me away how many Robin Hoods there are. And that's not to mention the books, okay? I'm not even going to get into the books right now. I've got a couple that's going on, except for Ivanhoe. And it's one of my favorite Robin Hood stories. Robin Hood is not a main character in Ivanhoe by Walter Scott or Sir Walter Scott. He's not a main character, but he's definitely important to the ideas behind Ivanhoe and to the idea of equality, treating people decently. I mean, the main themes of the story are the struggles between the Saxons and the Normans and Christianity and Judaism during that time. And Sir Walter Scott has a quote: "Will future ages believe that such stupid bigotry ever existed?" And they would most definitely, Mr. Scott, Sir Scott, because they're looking at it every day. It amazed me when I read this book, was not that long ago, probably 10 years ago, how many of the problems, how many of the accusations, how many of these things run through our lives today. Now, yes, there has been progress made because in many countries, because the penalties are not as strong as they were. You know, mobs have not taken to the streets in my city that I can ever remember. But the thoughts and the motives and the unkindness continue in many ways. So Sir Walter Scott also wrote Rob Roy. He lived from 1771 to 1832. And I think it's a great book. Yes, you know, there's differences. It was written in the 1800s, 1819 to be exact, but it has the idea, that idea of helping people out, of not, you know, like the Holy Grail, only that was King Arthur's time. But I'm being oppressed by the system is very much a Robin Hood type of idea. And they were, I mean, that goes without question. They were. So I suggest if you haven't and you're a Robin Hood fan, to pick up Ivanhoe and read it through. Now, as Robin Sims always says, I don't want to go off topic. You can go off topic anytime you want to, within the realms of Robin Hood. I'm just going to go on talking unless there's like another comment or things around. So guys, since you're all guys, if you want me to be quiet, you know what you have to do. Okay. So we often also talk about how sometimes you have a love of books, not just a love of story, a love of books. And this is the one great thing about Robin Hood, is that you get into the old legend type books. So one time when I was in Philadelphia, my friend that I was visiting took me to a secondhand bookstore that was in an old railway station, and it was magical. And one of the things I found there was this 1927 version of Robin Hood, written by Arthur Malcolm, with illustrations by Margaret Malpass Geyser. And so we have the illustrations in a book like this. Sorry for those who can't see, it's a Robin Hood picture. I'm going to be sharing some of this up on the Facebook site, so Vicky with Vicky Facebook site. So if you want to see, come over there and join and follow and do all of these things. But plus it has what I have always loved. What I've looked up, and all I'm getting is border decoration on this around the words type of art. But you know, there's got to be a classier name. So, because it's wonderful. So here, not only do we have leaves and such, but we actually have pictures, different pictures around each page, very extensive pictures. So beautiful artwork that you just don't find today, kids. And then I found, which is going to have another connection, this book, Robin Hood's Song, and it has different ballads and things from Robin Hood that are, but also, once again, a fabulous artwork. Where are we here? I don't think you can see it, beside each of the stanzas, there's another picture, and it moves slowly in action. It's like one of those flip books that they used to have. It moves slowly in action down the page, and that art is by Virginia Lee Burton, and so intricate, so So beautiful. It's just, so sometimes it's the Robin Hood books, it's the King Arthur books, it's that kind of thing that you can pick up a copy of something that is just a beautiful work of art beside the story. So I'm going to get where this ties in to other things in just a minute. Hi, Rose. Thank you for joining us. So why that connects? Because as I said in my description, I'm going to talk about what I like about the Oracle, the Sherwood Oracle. And of course, I was going to like it. There was no question. But I did pick it up. But I have specific reasons for liking it. I did pick it up a month ago. And so I've had time to work with it and look into it. And as you can see from the front of the box, and now from the cards, is that the artwork is just spectacular. Here's Maid Marian, since we would... Let me get that in the light. Maid Marian, in all her glory, it's fabulous. And it's by Yvonne. It's by Anne Yvonne Gilbert. And she did, I haven't seen her work before. I'm hoping she gets some posters done of these because it's just beautiful. Another thing I love, because I know that when we did talk to Mark Ryan, he was not sure about it not having borders. He'd never worked with tarot before, but I love the fact it doesn't have borders because it allows the story to flow from the card right out into your life. And with these cards, the story is very important. It is a very easy to use and practical oracle. And I don't know, it, which does easy to use does not mean lacking in depth. I don't know if that's because I am familiar with the story of Robin Hood, so I'm not going into the story cold, but there have been other story oracles that I've looked into that that are still not this straightforward, I don't think. So of course, when I got the box, I did not sit and read the book. I did not. I opened it up and grabbed a card and immediately started looking for the meaning. And because that's how I do things. I just have to get in there and start and then go back and do it the right way. So for each of the characters, which is why it's so used. We're going to use King John here because nobody wants to get King John, I'm sure. So he's a difficult card, you would assume. However, it is pointed out that he, although a very disliked king, a very great at administration, good at seeing the whole picture and what he needed to do to get where he wanted to be. And clever. I mean, I know in the things we make him, well, it's actually the sheriff we make look not so clever, right? But Prince John does have some things that you might want to look into. And so with each card, you get a little verse, a description of them, the keywords, of course. Having him as a companion, having him as a challenger, a blessing about the tree that works with the card. And most importantly to me, and I think this is what makes things so workable for me, is the question of the questions. I mean, sometimes we don't even know the question we want to know about. So in one case, I was feeling stuck, so I decided to pull a card. I mean, these are much more, I think, everybody can see things themselves, but I think these are much more do the work so that you can achieve the future you would like, or come close to the future you would like, as opposed to telling you what the future is type cards. So I got the question, I was feeling stuck, so I pulled the card and I got the question, can you be spontaneous? And I said, no, I can't. I have all this going on. I have to do all this stuff. And then it's even the tone of voice, because then I heard, oh, the toys. Because then I heard, Vicky, can you be spontaneous? And I was like, oh, okay, I can. And so the tone, the questions, all of it makes a big difference. You may be looking for an answer you don't even know. So love the questions. Love the fact that it goes back and talks about being in nature, living in that forest, as the vision was originally. I just wanted to read one paragraph here. Usually in the warmth and comfort of a sleeping bag, ground mat, and under the protection of a simple cover, a minimal campsite among the trees is a welcome gateway to otherworldly dreams and insights that have informed and enlightened more than one wanderer in the esoteric multiverse. Yes. I mean, seriously, I quite often, because I just want to be secluded and on my own when I'm pulling a card, listen to rain on a tent top ambiance, because it's the most beautiful sound in the world. It's the most peaceful sound in the world. And I have so many fond memories of just, you know, being in the tent while the rain is falling. It's the best sleep you're ever going to get. And therefore, of course, the best dreams. I didn't want to forget anything. There are also different readings. I will get to that eventually in time. Right now, I could spend a year just getting to know these people. Better than I know them in the direct thing. So there's several different readings to do. Cardstock. People always ask about cardstock. Okay, so it's a little bit smaller than the Wildwood cards, which, you know, I pulled this out to do this before the show, and I got Six of Stones Exploitation, which is really cool because that sort of is like a Robin Hood subject. And so I can't tell, like, it is the cardstock is at least the same as the Wildwood Tarot. My theory is if the cards wear out and you love them, buy a new deck. This is also, you might want to add this with connections. This is also, speaking of the Wildwood Tarot, this is all part of its own legacy with John Matthews, the Green Man Tree Oracle, which I think may come under a different name right now. I can't remember. The Wildwood Tarot and the Greenwood Tarot, which I don't have a copy of, but rumor has it that they may be coming out at some point again. So I have that to look forward to. So all in all, a beautiful, very workable, very close to nature. If you're not, you know, so much, and it talks about the elements as fire and shelter in a survival way. I think it's just a very practical oracle, the way I also found the Wildwood Tarot to be a very practical tarot. So I like it. I think you should give it a try. And that is my Wildwood, my Sherlock, which is another whole tarot. The Sherwood Oracle likes. So, okay, so we're back to some comments because I talked. Thank you. Dave says, one of my favorite Star Trek Next Generation episodes was the Robin Hood one when Worf said, I am not a merry man. Yes, so evil. Robin Hood shows up twice now in science fiction between Rocket Robin Hood and Star Trek. Robin says, that Wayne and Schuster, that's a while back. When were they on? did a skit on their show called The Robin Hood Roast, kind of a parody on Dean Martin's roast. It was hilarious. I wonder if we can find that clip on YouTube. I'm going to look after Robin, or maybe you can look. Why am I always doing the looking? The cover artwork done on Sherwood Oracle is really well done and fitting. It is. She's illustrates books mostly. I think I need to look more into her. Like I said, if they have posters, I would feel. Okay. So, well, you might have noticed that I was interrupted for a brief second. I was also, who is this? I was into my room, came some Robin Hood that was in 1983. Okay, so some Robin Hood action figures, and they took some Star Wars action figures and made them, the company, these aren't, you buy them, and made them into Robin Hood characters. So this is, if you can see, Robin Hood Friar Tuck, and always a favorite of mine. And I don't know who this is. Are we sure that it's from the Robin Hood movies? This one, David? Let me see the back of the box. We'll have it. Okay. I think he has a cloak on, brown pants. Okay, it's either Will Scarlet or Longbow Robin Hood, one of the above. So these are, that's Robin. So Longbow Robin Hood. All right. Now, what else do we have? Okay, so when it comes to Ivanhoe, I'm going back. Kevin Costner, I know, but it doesn't look like Kevin Costner, not in the least. So one of the great things about these older stories is that we can, as long as we have a computer, if you can listen to Vicky right now, you can also get Ivanhoe and probably some versions of Robin Hood. I mean, I know the Howard Pyle is on there. It's not my favorite. And I've been trying to remember why it's not my favorite. Like I had it and I sent it away. So I don't know. I'm sorry. It's not like he's here that can hear us. But for some reason, it's not my favorite. But you can get the Howard Pyle version and other versions on, as I've mentioned before, Project Gutenberg. Brian will say, look in your own area because they're all different. But these stories are so old, I don't think it should be an issue. Regardless, it is possible to have a book in every hand with Project Gutenberg. And no, that isn't a commercial, but wouldn't it be great? A great commercial. As I was reading it, it's like a book in every hand. Thank you, Project Gutenberg. So you can go back and you can read those books for free. And then if you want to spend money, read many of those, because this is what, like any good book that has to do with folklore and things like that, they will have, and there's actually, I'm going to look into this and see if I can grab, at the end of the Sherwood Oracles, you get your bibliography for further reading and resources, and it's like 3 pages modern retelling. So there's lots of modern retellings in books. I've got a couple going. Music and websites and organizations to check out. So this is all part of my research to get other people in to talk about Robin that know what they're talking about. I'm more touchy-feely. Oh, Robin, it's a good kind of gal. Mr. Monster. Which is the whole cast of Robin Hood characters? Oh my goodness, I am so far behind. There was There's a surprisingly unfunny one season of a Mel Brook pre-Men in Tights comedy TV show called When Things Were Rotten. Ooh. And it wasn't funny? I think a lot of people would probably find Mel Brooks less funny today. When things were rotten. They were rotten in a lot of ways, but they're rotten in a lot of ways. Just people don't be wanting the good old days because they weren't always. As a kid, I always wondered about Rocket Robin Hood. Robin Sim says, how did they not burn their backs and legs with their atomic rocket backpacks? Well, see, this, Robin Sims, means you need to rewrite some Rocket Robin Hood fan fiction and explain that for future generations. See, this is the fun of this. Because, I mean, you can't say Rocket Robin because I'm sure that he's not in social and public domain yet. Probably getting close. I don't know. But you can take Robin Hood and put a rocket pack on him and find out how it doesn't burn their legs and things. Okay. Okay, so, okay, so I think that, I think I missed something or whatever. I'm not sure where that comment was directed to. I missed one of Brian's comments the other day and he made sure I knew about it. So I'm trying to be extra careful. Dave is thinking one guy did all the voices on Rocket Robin Hood cartoon. I'm not sure. I will have to check that out. It's possible, like many, many things. So, like I was saying with her, the great thing about public domain and books that we can get through Project Gutenberg is that we can read the original and the original stories, many original stories, for free. And then we can go on and read the new versions, that because it's open, that were written about them, and send a little cash to the living, if possible. Or get them at the library or wherever else they may be available. Or we can even indulge ourselves into writing our own version of Robin Hood, but it's open to write about, make oracle cards about, festivals. Make a whole festival about. You don't have to worry about trademarks or any of that stuff. You can just go ahead and play those things. So, what Robin Hood means to me, which is all important. And I would love to hear what Robin Hood means to you as well. But what Robin Hood means to me, of course, as a kid, it was living in the forest, camping forever, having a bow and arrow because everybody wants one. But as I grew, it was the taking from the rich and giving to the poor. I mean, even at a very young age, you realize that's a noble thing. Maybe because you have no money and you're feeling like the poor. But it really does have to do with making it good for everyone. Making sure everybody eats, making sure that they're not exploited, making sure that, you know, in the modern books, he was someone who had been part of the aristocracy. So he would be more comfortable, you know, fighting them. But in the older books, he was a yeoman. I will not say just a yeoman, a regular guy. And fighting for his family and for the rest of humanity. Like everybody that was there in the forest, all bringing their different traits. I mean, aside, I mean, I love Robin, but I've always have a soft spot for Friar Tuck because he always seemed extra merry and had his indulgences. You have Will Scarlet that is angry. You have Little John, who is definitely a family man. And you have, this is another thing. I was pulling out the cards to show their size, and I pulled the Saracen, who is really, it's a Mark Ryan card, but Nazir on Robin of Sherwood, and has shown up after that in many of the talks, the shows, movies, along the way. Robin Hood is an idea for idealistic people. And I think maybe he is not a costume. He is just a guy in a hood. So he's not a costume. He's not fancy. He's an idea that I think needs to come back. I mean, I'm not putting down society. It always has its things. But perhaps it could be a little less materialistic, a little more nature. And I think Robin Hood brings all of those things to the front. Yes, Treehouses are the best part of Robin Hood. Mr. Munster, and thank you, Benjamin Stimson, who was also a guest with his ancestral whispers. Sorry, Ben. It is a great, I mean, not because I'm doing this show about it, but Robin Hood is everything you need to have. He's been everywhere, done everything. Good for you, Robin. Okay, Robinson says I'm going off topic, Vicky. That's it. You go off topic. Mr. Monster has one cool profile picture, the Count from our hilarious House of Frankenstein. And yes, I do not know Robin Sims or Mr. Monster in real life, but you know, when you're kids and you grow up in a certain area or country, you have similarities that you connect on. David, are you writing a book? I can't read all this. Okay. David just watched a show on a special on Robin Hood the other day, and he says, I think it's interesting that there is new info that the real Robin may have been a Roman who lived a few hundred years before the stories were written. Was a great documentary with lots of points leading to a real Robin Hood, who was also known as the Bear in Welsh. Okay. That is interesting information and possibly true. Like I said, I'm not committing myself to anything ever, probably, because I will just get guests in to talk about it, and I will be polite, and I will listen to all of them, and I will observe, and so I respect that theory. But there are also theories that, I mean, but then it could have been a real person that, I mean, this goes back, it is integral, and wraps around so many other tales, and, you know, has... It's been alluded with the Green Man and all of this stuff. So I just want to let other people talk, and then we can all just make up our own minds. Okay, Mr. Monster. I still don't think I want to try it too many times. The Bears is King Arthur, but there are connections with Robin Hood with other tricksters and folk heroes. Yes, and there's connections and things all over the place. So I'm not making I'm not, I'm just going to take everybody's opinions and then we can work it all out through many different shows. I'm just looking. In fact, inside my, the Song of Robin Hood book that I found with the original ballads, I actually found this and I thought it was pretty good on the way to where things in. Unfortunately, in presenting folklore to the public, many editors have tried to interpret it unnecessarily and have often distorted it in the process. Consequently, the lore we offer is not always folklore in the truest sense. Our well-meant services are sometimes disservices, both to the e-reader and to his traditional heritage. So I think that is what, I think perhaps that is what I'm trying to figure out here. When is it important to stick to the original story? If it's a modern story and it's fictional and it takes a different direction, how do we find the resources for ourselves in the future to, where are and are the best resources in the future to research what the origins may or may not have been? And, you know, can we all just get along and talk about these things in a reasonable fashion? Why don't you ever apologize to me? Yep, that's it. I got them mixed up. It was about the Arthur, you are right. All right. He's using his phone again to type. Okay, so see there? That was just resolved. And very nicely. It doesn't have to go further, people. So, yes, Robin Hood, fantastic character. Fantastic creator of behind so many different things. Did he have connections with different folklore? I was just thinking about the Arthur thing, and I wanted to bring up that the movie King Arthur 1984, I think. The one author, John Matthews, worked on the research end of it, contributing thoughts in that. And Mark Ryan worked in choreographing the battle scenes. So everything is connected. Everything. Okay, so Mr. Monster says, we're really missing that idyllic sense of the people, for the people, by the people today. And all the versions of Robin Hood wonderfully retain that. And no wonder it lasted as at least a folktale. Yes, I agree. But also, I have to agree that quite often people from opposing sides will both think that they're doing the best for the people. And it's really gotten complicated. When trying to discuss anything about, you know, I've stopped, I'm stuttering now because I'm thinking too hard. There's a lot of different points I wanted to make today. And I realized, no, because they could be both taken both ways. And I wouldn't want to fuel the other side. Not that anyone needs to know what the other side from me is. It is that in Robin Hood, the people stood up against the government to feed themselves and the poor. However, we are too government-sided now, I think, to say the government. We have to have another villain because both sides are going to say Well, we're doing what's right for the people. We're the ones that's taking away the unfairness. And so by simplifying Robin Hood, we may be able to simplify things in not in a political sense, but in a social sense. I know that a lot of different songs and things that I thought were my anthem have been taken away by other anthems, people's anthems, because I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't think that could work that way. So I think we need to be very careful in our wording, or those that are our folk heroes for a particular reason will be taken up by others. This is true. I was mentioning when I was talking about Ivanhoe that it was the Saxons versus the Normans, a commentary on the relationships between Christianity and Judaism. And just, I mean, England was stomped by a lot of different groups, and each of those groups stayed and then made enemies with the others until now, you know. There's still somebody in a pub somewhere slamming their mug on the table and mentioning the Normans in an impolite way, but it is. And that line, will we ever see the stupidity of the bigotry? Where are you? Believe that such stupid bigotry, will future ages believe that such stupid bigotry ever existed? Yes, we will. And Robin Hood is a powerful tool, a powerful story, a powerful weapon. And we need to be sure of how we're wielding it, because it cannot just be government. It cannot just be another people. It's not as simplistic as the Normans versus the Anglo-Saxons. It has to be an idea of freedom, equality, feeding people the social issues that really matter. And maybe, perhaps, he, as a story, can replace the story of political sides, of religious sides. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just live in a forest? Like Robin Hood. But we have to totally understand the story first and not criticize the Kevin Costner version of it. Okay. I didn't mean to get so bossy at the end. David? Yes, the Robin and Once Upon a Time. I'm just going to say quickly, I think that that's a fabulous idea, because it showed the two sides of Robin, and that he had a choice. He could have chosen to use his powers of thievery or whatever to get for himself, but he chose to do it for all the people. So I think that's fantastic. Got a little opinionated today, folks. It happens. It's not just dull giggles and coffee. It would be nice if it could be, though. I will look into everything that you said. I will look into experts on the story. I will have them in, as well as other books that have been written in the fictional sense. Thanks for showing up, Romper Stomper Boo, Dave, Robin Sims, Mr. Monster, Ben. I don't want to miss anybody. Brian! Oh, I would have died if I had missed Brian. Okay. Mr. Author Brian Griner was also here today. Thank you so much for showing up and being my guest. I would send you all. Is everybody in? Maybe I should send everybody a Timmy's card. Okay. All right. Talk to everyone later. And Ben, how am I doing? Thank you, Robin. You got that, Ben? It's not coming out. Okay, I can't even make a heart today. There we go. And we're good. So I'm going to close down the comments and just say, oh, okay, we're just going to leave Ben on there forever. That's okay. And just say, be careful where you point your arrow. And I'll see you all next week. Until then, may your coffee be hot and your story sweet. Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's just not going to be easy today, is it? Music, people, music.